tuned in to Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network.
Welcome to the Village Vision Podcast, where community, collaboration, and care converge. I'm Dr. Crystal Morrison, and I'm honored to be your host on this incredible journey. As a firm believer in the power of a united village, I'm thrilled to bring you inspiring stories, research, and projects that break down barriers in care. Through heartfelt conversations with experts, advocates, and those with lived experiences, we'll showcase the transformative impact of collective support. So join me on the Village Vision Podcast as we explore the remarkable collaborations that lead to better outcomes, foster a sense of community, and inspire action to improve care for ourselves and everyone around us. On today's episode, I'm here with Dr. Karen Milano. Dr. Milano is a bilingual clinical psychologist with almost 20 years of experience working with children and their families. Recently, she launched Lumitot, a comprehensive program that helps parents of young children ensure that their children thrive so that they can reach their full potential well into adulthood. Welcome, Dr. Milano.
Thank you so much. It is such a pleasure to be here with you today. Thank you for having me on your show.
Of course. So I definitely want to talk about the work that you're doing today, but I'd also like to talk about your why. You know, what led you to doing the work that you're doing today, including creating and starting Lumitot?
Absolutely. Thank you. I feel like I have a lot of whys.
But yeah, don't we all?
Yes. In my 20 years of working with children and families, I have so many stories from little ones all the way up to the elderly. There was a time when I was training as a psychologist, and you have to do all of the different rotations. So I was working with the elderly, and I remember a gentleman. He was in hospice, and he was on his last days, and there was no one sitting by him, absolutely lonely. That story stuck with me, that none of his family members, I was the only person and the last person he ever saw before his death.
Oh, wow.
And then I go back to the beginning of life, where I remember there was a time where I was a social worker, and I was transporting a little girl to a foster home, and she had her arm in a cast. And I'm just trying to be friendly, and I asked what happened to her arm. And she just very bluntly told me that her daddy broke it. And so whether it was a young one, a little child, all the way up to the elderly, I have compiled so many stories of suffering, of difficulty, of pain. And this is why I do the work I do to begin with. But I feel like there's just so much more we can do. Mm-hmm. And so throughout the many years of working with families and then my own difficulties, I've had my own difficulties with a lot of health issues, infertility, divorce, mold toxicity, which led to actually depression. Had no idea at the time that, you know, the mold was going to take me over the edge with depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I started seeking alternative forms of treatment. So I started looking into Eastern medicine and became fascinated by the way that I transformed with it.
Yeah.
And wondered, how is it that we're not taking all this incredible information and bridging it with what we do already have?
Right.
And so all of these stories really brought Lumitot together, because the common thread that I saw in everything that I've seen and experienced is that it all starts in those first 5 years, literally from, let's back up, from pregnancy up until the first 5 years, when our beliefs really solidify, when they're set, when our habits set, when we start to see and view the way life is going to be for us, happens that early on. So if we target those years in a way where we're not just supporting the relationship or the brain, but we're also fostering the environment around it and bringing everything together in a more holistic way, that we actually could change the way we experience pain and suffering and chronic illness. Not that we're going to get rid of it, because we need it. It helps us evolve, but that we could perceive it differently and have a different outlook and perspective in life experience.
So much to say here. I mean, very much aligned with my thinking, certainly, you know, the when it comes to so many of the things that we go through and challenges and trauma, community and support and really a holistic system of care around someone is really critical for healing. And I couldn't agree more that those early years are so incredibly critical. We tend to think that it's true, you know, children are very resilient. It's true, but we tend to think that if really awful things happen in those early years, the child's not going to remember it. But we know from a lot of research, a lot of data, that those early experiences are literally imprinted on children, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to talk a little bit more about LumiTOT, because your approach is really unique. It's really fascinating. You've created this novel approach really focused on pillars of health. And yes. So tell us a little bit more about LumiTOT.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for asking. What I've noticed in, at least in the U.S. per se, is that we have a tendency to separate things out. Everything is separate. We go to the doctor because our knee hurts. And we go to see a specialist for your knee or your throat. But we don't realize that there could be so many other factors that are impacting that knee. It could be your gut. It could be your mindset. It could be so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we spend and dedicate a lot of energy and time into trying to heal that one thing when there are so many other factors impacting it.
Right.
And so when I created my LumiTOT method, I brought functional medicine, Eastern medicine, and Western medicine and bridged it together to create more of a lifestyle as opposed to not just techniques. I feel like I could give you techniques all day.
Sure.
And oftentimes parents will say, I try that. It doesn't work. So there's usually a reason why. There's an entire foundation. So if we can instill a lifestyle that actually resonates with a family, that meets them where they are at, because I also don't believe that there is ever a one-size-fits-all.
Agreed.
That could really be more of a, I think of it like a buffet where you go in and you taste different things, like, oh, I like this and I like that. And then you leave certain things on your plate, you know, maybe not that. But you eventually figure out what works for you and then you keep building on it. So with these pillars, I took various pillars of health that really help to support the development of the brain and the body. So that we're also looking at the environment that makes it easier for the brain and the body to thrive. So we look at things like your mindset. We look at the development of the brain in little ones, nutrition, gut health, the environment, down to even the color of paint that you choose for your child's room could even impact their overall mood and well-being, the toxins we're exposed to, movement, exercise, stress. And so all of these different pillars of health, we look at all of them and we bridge them together in a way where all of a sudden you have all these puzzle pieces and you could see how they come and fit together.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, we can create a lifestyle that can best support your little one, yourself, and your family. And also to really help you to start thinking about, okay, how can we also change our community and the environment where our children are going to thrive? And this is where I think it is so incredibly important to bring all our communities together, the different levels of expertise, and to really provide that audience and resources for our families to be able to know, okay, now I know what's going on. Now I know that there's a possibility that I could go to this person or that person. And together, we can really create an environment for our little ones to really thrive and tap into the unlimited potential that not only they have, but that their families have as well.
Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, the crazy thing is, Karen, is it seems like a no-brainer, right? It seems like a no-brainer, but our system of care is not set up to operate this way. But I would love to hear about an example of like an aha moment a family had with their child, their family. You know, maybe it was the color of their room, or maybe it was that they were, you know, consuming something they were ultimately allergic to or some sort of environmental toxin. You know, give us a couple examples of an aha moment that has happened with some of the children and families you've worked with.
Absolutely. A lot of the kids that I've worked with, I always implement whatever the family is most comfortable with.
Yeah.
And one of the most common threads I see is that the gut is really off balance.
Yeah.
So that, unfortunately, the way we tend to eat, and I know we always say, oh, you know, I really try to get my child to eat A, B, and C. So I get the struggle. But one thing that we often don't realize is that when the gut, the microbiome, so all our little gut friends, what I like to call them, are off balance. So we generally have lots of really good microbes, and we also have some that are not so great. All of us do. That is absolutely normal. But then what happens is when the pathogens tend to grow and they take over, now all the good ones, the ones that do help us to feel calm, that help us feel relaxed, that help us feel happy, that give us the energy to get throughout the day, create the hormones that we need for our brain and body to thrive, they start to die off because of the way we're eating, because of the levels of stress. And then those pathogens take over. They literally take over and they feed off of things that maybe aren't as favorable for our bodies. So for kids, it tends to be a lot of the sugaries, the processed foods, and they actually start to influence that child to crave those foods, and as adults as well, because we try so many times to break these cravings and things, and we're like, I really try and I can't. Well, it's most likely because there are more bacteria in our body than there is human DNA. They have so much influence over us. That as hard as we can try, they're like, nope, I know how to get this human being to eat the things I need for me to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
So now all of a sudden we have more of the pathogen gut microbiome, that diversity isn't there, and it starts to impact behavior. Mm-hmm. We start to see it impact not just behavior, but sleep and the child's personality. So all of a sudden it gets this snowball effect where a child may be having meltdowns, and then having a difficulty sitting still, and then their sleep gets disrupted, and then there's more arguments in the home with the family, and there's the relationship ruptures. It just keeps going and going. Then they start getting calls from school, all of these different things. So some of the best changes I've seen is when we've focused on gut health and just making some minor tweaks, even just minor tweaks, to what the kids are eating, and even adding some supplements that can really help, like amino acids that can really help to supplement the body while it starts to do what it needs to do. And I've seen some radical changes in behavior. And obviously then that brings the snowball effect the other direction, where child now has the chemicals they need to calm down. So they're better able to calm down. Now it's easier for the parents to calm down. Now it's easier to have those interactions. So for example, I had a child that was diagnosed with ADHD, and I'm not the biggest fan of labels. So I say that very carefully here, because I don't believe you are your label. I always think there's a way around every label. So we don't ever want to fall into this trap that we are this way and nothing can ever change. But this child was diagnosed with ADHD. And so we took a very close look at, okay, what is this child eating? What are some of the chemicals that are being used in the home? So we did an analysis of even cleaning products, shampoos, soaps, all of these things in the home. Okay, what can we control? Because we cannot control everything, but there are things we can. And we added some supplements, like some even simple supplements like omega-3s,
vitamin
D, and in that in conjunction with just the relationship piece of really helping the child and the caregivers learn how to cope and come together. Oh my goodness, I just see much, much faster results. So what I would typically do in therapy that could take me, I don't know, 6 months to a year. Now
we
see results within, you know, 2 months or so, which sometimes it's even immediate, where the parents will be like, wait, I want to start doing this for myself.
And absolutely.
That is what is so beautiful, is that I don't ever see it as one individual. I think the relationship is your client. the whole, the whole family is the client, because one influences the other, influences the community. So as a whole, you start to see the shift. And
yeah.
And that's one example. I feel like I could go on forever on these, but those are
well,
the
yeah.
I noticed the most radical changes, where we do look at some of these factors that we're not usually looking at.
Yeah, and that's why I ask, because, you know, I think sometimes when we talk about these newer ideas, even though they make a lot of sense, they seem to be a no-brainer, like I said, it's still hard for people to understand, like, what's a tangible example? What's an actual example of something that's changed that could have an impact? And I think from modern medicine and science perspective, let's just say, there's more published now about the role of gut health, but there's a lot that's been known and understood and kind of instinctively known for a long time about the power of, you know, our microbiome. So, you know, we start to see a lot more about gut health, but we don't necessarily see anything about how it relates to little kids and their behavior, or maybe some of the physical challenges that they're experiencing. And so, again, it makes a lot of sense to look at that. And I know that's just part of what you look at, right?
Yes, that is a part of it. And
I love what you were saying also about your client really being the relationship, the family, and instead of just one person or the child. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Absolutely, especially when it comes to little, 5 and under. A lot of times I get asked, wait, how do you work with a one? Like, that, are you going to put them on a couch? And so the at that point, it really is about the relationship, because when babies are born, they have all of these neurons that are completely, they're just not connected. It's just a mess of dysregulation. And every single experience that they have, those neurons start to wire and fire.
Right.
I'm sure so many people have heard that term, neurons that wire and fire together. And so every single experience starts to find that organization for them. Mm-hmm. And so right from the beginning, all of those experiences the child is having with other people, whether right. it's parents, neighbors, friends, they're starting to help build those neural mm-hmm. connections, neural patterns. And so because the brain is growing very, very, very fast,
right.
but it's still very disorganized. And so we as adults act as that part of the brain that isn't yet developed, which is typically the frontal cortex, which is what helps us plan and reason and make those determinations. So what I've noticed happens quite a bit with littles is that there's a huge, huge expectation gap. So as caregivers, adults, parents, we assume that little kids can do certain things, and we get frustrated because they cannot. They're not doing them, but the reality is that they can't. That part of the brain isn't there yet.
Right.
So as adults, we act as that part of the brain. So that's why it is really tough to even separate one from the other, because a dysregulated adult cannot regulate a dysregulated child. So if you as an adult are having your tantrum and meltdown, I'm going to call it that because I know I've had
yeah.
them, when you're with your child and you're frustrated because they're having a meltdown, there's no way you're going to be able to help that little one, because they don't have that part of the brain that they can't access that part of the brain that helps them to think and reason and calm down. So it's this co-regulation. It is a dance of the back and forth, because the reality is that they're going to happen. The meltdowns are going to happen. The difficulties mm-hmm. are going to happen. We as adults are going to break apart as well, because we're human. But really it's about that coming back in that repair process. Mm-hmm. Which is so beautiful when two individuals are now finally calm and in a good space, and you can come together and repair it all, whatever happened. And that's really what the parent and the child is going to remember most. But you can't have one without the other. It really is quite impossible for a child to thrive and grow without connection from other human beings. I mean, we've seen so many incidents where these children that were, you know, locked up in a closet for years or kept in some really awful situations, and what that does to their life
right.
and all of their development. And so children are here to have experiences, to have life experiences with other human beings. So it's always about the relationship, because one will always affect the other bidirectionally.
Do you ever work with parents prior to their child being born?
It's my favorite thing to do. I actually think if we could catch parents literally from the moment of conception,
yeah,
I don't think we're quite there yet, but if I
okay.
could catch parents before they're going to have even thinking of conceiving, because they're even preparing their body and the environment of the womb for that child to start growing, because that little brain is growing from the minute it's conceived. And so a lot of it is even preparing the environment of the womb and understanding how that pregnancy affects development, because there's so much we can do during that year of pregnancy that is really going to shape the outcome of that child's life once they're born. So for example, if a mother is pregnant and undergoing a lot of stress, that child's brain is going to grow in a way where it can survive and thrive in that kind of level of stress. So that means the part of the brain that's that fight or flight part of the brain that's going to be able to handle stress is going to grow larger than other parts of the brain that are meant for more creativity and thriving and progress. So now, because of the development of the brain in that environment, it's like, okay, we need this child to be able to thrive and survive in this environment. So now they come equipped with more of that, you know, bigger amygdala or whatever it's going to help to really help them thrive in stress. That's one example. Another example that I've always found very fascinating is that what we eat when we're pregnant is really going to help with what that child wants to eat once they are eating once they start eating solids. The research shows that there was a specific research that looked at mothers having carrot juice, I believe it was. And the children that were exposed to carrot juice in the womb ended up wanting carrots when they started eating solids. So even these little things that we can change during that time period and really preparing for that shift, which I think is huge. When we have babies, we're like, here you go, good luck, go home. We read a couple books, we take a couple courses, but again, very disjointed, very disconnected. It never really prepares us for the shock of becoming a parent.
and that is actually the reason I asked the question, because as you're talking and I'm learning more about your methods, you know, I'm thinking back honestly to the very early days after I gave birth to my oldest child. And, you know, I had read all of the parenting books and, you know, felt very well prepared. And I really had this idea that, you know, I feel like the expectation and the vision that had been imparted upon me was that you give birth and the clouds part and the angels sing and we all sing kumbaya and you are eternally grateful for this little human being who you have. And so that's the expectation. And then the reality is that I don't know what the hell I'm doing. I have massive infection, mastitis. My child screams every night from 6 to midnight. You know, it was a incredibly difficult experience. And, you know, he's dysregulated, I'm dysregulated. He, you know, it's just this constant battle of dysregulation. And that's why I asked that question, because what an amazing experience it would have been or could have been and can be for other people if, you know, engaging your team when they're thinking about becoming pregnant or once they're pregnant and really talking about these things in an open, safe way, preparing the holistic aspect of the environment. And then once the child's born, you know, really understanding a little bit more how things fit together and having a realistic expectation and coming from a place of calm. I think that's just a fantastic idea. And I would absolutely 110% endorse it for prior to having a child, because I just see it as something that I experienced so significantly and being made to feel kind of like I was crazy or if I was overreacting or I'm a first time mom. So it's just the way it is and being discounted. So yeah, I see it as tremendous value.
Thank you. And you made me think about two things right there. Mm-hmm. One point that I can think of is that there are so many variables that we don't think about.
Yeah.
We're going to have a child. So our identity change, who do we don't even know who we are anymore. Like, wait, I feel like I lost my identity. I don't mm-hmm. know what I am or who I am. And the sense of grief and loss for even your life prior to having a child and what that looks like. That's a huge one. The other really big one that we don't really pay much attention to is the relationship between mom and dad and how that completely changes when you have a child.
Right.
The stats are incredibly high. There's a 67% of couples express dissatisfaction within the first 3 years of having a child, mm-hmm. which to me is incredibly high. And then a lot of divorces happen when you have a child in the ages of 5 and under because you're not prepared. You don't know how to navigate those first few years. And there are just so many factors. Either it's that or it starts off the pattern of having an okay or unhappy marriage of, well, we're going to just stick around and do this thing because we have kids now. And there could be a lot more satisfaction between a couple if we took the time to really pay attention to prepare for the arrival of a child. Mm-hmm. It could be completely, completely different. And that alone is going to change the trajectory of that child's life. So mm-hmm. That's one big factor right there of all these different variables that if we knew ahead of time and we could mm-hmm. process them and shift them and prepare in a way that's much more different than the way we prepare now. Right. Oh my goodness, parenting really would be so much easier. And the other point that you made me think about is that we live in a society where I hear it all day long. Parenting is hard, end of story. Right? So, yep, that's it. This is the way it's supposed to be. Oh, well. And so because we believe the story so much, why are we ever going to seek support otherwise? Because we don't believe that there can be any other way. And I completely, completely disagree with the statement that it has to be this hard or this challenging.
Yeah.
It is because we don't know any better, because we've never really had the resources to, let's call it train, to become parents. So,
that thinking just reinforces this attitude that we shouldn't ask for help or we can't ask for help or people are going to think we're weak if we ask for help, which is completely and totally unhealthy.
Yes.
But I do want to wrap up today. I absolutely love what you're doing. It's just such incredibly important work. How can people who are interested in working with you, how can they find you, reach out to you, learn more about Lumitot?
Yes, thank you for asking. So as you mentioned, my company is Lumitot, L-U-M-I-T-O-T. Website. I've made it super simple. I always like something simple for parents because we already have enough to think about. You can follow me on socials, pretty much most socials under Lumitot. And then I also have a free gift that I would love to offer your audience mm-hmm. where it's tips for every one of those pillars of health that I think are important so you can start instilling that lifestyle. Just really simple little things that you can do on your everyday to start making that shift. So I'm happy to pass that on so that you can start having some actionable steps.
That is perfect. And for everyone who's listening, we'll make sure that all of the contact information, the website, and the free tips that Dr. Milano offered are available. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Milano. Thank you for joining us today on the Village Vision podcast. I am so grateful that you shared your story and some of your experience, as well as the great work that you're doing today.
Thank you so much. It was such a pleasure to be on your show, and I'm very grateful and appreciative to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. So thank you for joining us on this episode of the Village Vision podcast on Word of Mom Radio. I hope you found inspiration and valuable insights from our conversation today. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, leave a review, and share. But thank you for being a part of the Village Vision podcast on Word of Mom Radio. Take care and let's keep shining a light on the power of community, collaboration, and care.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
She is strong.
She is true.
She is true.
She is brave.
She is brave.
She is bold.
She is bold.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is you.
She is sure.
She is sure.
She is strong.
Sure.
She is sure.